the Lord. Tonight we'll be speaking from Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and the name of the message is, Where is the Good Way? And more than ever before, in our country, in this world, we need to be asking, we need to be on our knees asking the Lord, where is the good way? We need to be asking, where can we find rest for our souls? In chapter 6 of Jeremiah, they're under judgment. Their cities are being destroyed. Jerusalem's being destroyed. The temple's being destroyed. Why? Why are all these things happening? Why are all these things happening to America? Why the economic collapse? Why are all these things... why is California, over the last couple of years, burning out of control? Why is its economy ready to collapse? I believe it's because of sin. I believe it's because we've given God the back and not the face. We've forsaken the Word. We no longer take pleasure and delight in the Word of the Lord and the commandments of God. We're given over to covetousness. We're given over to idolatry, greed, sexual immorality. We're shedding the blood of innocent children. And all these things were prevalent in Jerusalem and prevalent in Judah. Here in the 6th chapter. And if you'll go with me to chapter, verse 1. It says, Flee for safety, O people of Benjamin. Flee from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and raise a signal on Beth Haharim. For disaster looms out of the north, and great destruction. Destruction's coming. Jerusalem's no longer safe. It's not a safe place. God's presence is no longer there. It's not a safe place to be. Raise up a signal. Don't come to this place. It's not safe. Destruction's coming. Out of the north, God's going to destroy this place. And there's reasons He's going to destroy this place. Verse 2, it says, The lovely and delicate bread I will destroy, the daughter of Zion. This is His child. God chastises those whom He loves. Even the rich, the wealthy, the delicate bread, they're not excluded from this judgment. I will destroy the lovely, the delicately bred, even the wealthy, even those of high education. They're not excluded from this. Everything's coming down. There's nothing going to be left. In fact, verse 3 says, Shepherds with their flock shall come against her. They shall pitch their tents round about her, and they shall pasture, each in his own place. And He's not talking about shepherds with their flocks. That's a metaphor. He's talking about generals with their armies. But he's using sheep and a shepherd because I don't know what. If you ever in the old, when you're growing up, watch Western movies and how the cattle people, they hated sheep herders. Because when sheep come in, they eat all the grass down to the ground, and when they're gone, there's nothing left. And that's why he's using this metaphor. Shepherds with their flocks are going to come. They're going to pinch their tents. They shall pasture. Well, if they're going to pasture, when sheep pasture, let me tell you, when they move on, there's nothing left. And in verse 9, it backs that up. It says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they, he's talking about the army of Babylon, they shall glean thoroughly as a vine, the remnant of Israel, like a grape gatherer, pass your hand again over its, like a grape gatherer, passing your hand again over its branches. In other words, they're going to come through, they're going to glean once, but then they're coming again. And when they're done, there's not going to be anything left. There's not going to be any fruit on the vine. There's not going to be any evidence that there was a temple here, that there was a city here. It's all coming down. Amen? And he says, Warn, prepare for war against her. Arise and let us attack at noon. Woe to us, for the day declines, for the shadows of evening lengthen. And here you have it. He's telling the Babylonians, prepare for war against Jerusalem. Arise, let us attack at noon. And it's going to go on into the night. The evening comes. For the shadows of evening lengthen. Let us attack by night. This is going to be relentless. Let us destroy her palaces. They're going to attack day and night until there's nothing left. Amen? The city must be punished. There's nothing but oppression within her. Now we're getting into the cause, the reason for these judgments. There's nothing but oppression within her. Those that are powerful, those that are rich, they oppress their own people. They make merchandise of their own people. They make merchandise of the poor. They misuse their power. They misuse their authority to rob the people. Maybe exorbitant taxes. That could be one way. Verse 7 says, As a well keeps its water fresh, so Jerusalem keeps fresh her evil. New acts. That speaks of new sin. Every day, new acts of sin. Acts of violence, acts of oppression, acts of idolatry, sacrificing their children in the fire. You see? This is why judgment's coming. There's shedding of innocent blood. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Amen? Over a billion children have been aborted worldwide in this world in 30 years, and God hates the shedding of innocent blood. There must be justice for the shedding of innocent blood. This is why Jerusalem is being leveled. And I tell you, that's why that this world won't last 30 more years of shedding innocent blood. Amen. It won't last 30 more years of shed. I believe abortion is the issue that will bring the Lord Jesus Christ back. Amen. And this is interesting. As a well keeps its water fresh, so she keeps fresh her evil. It's like she's waking up daily to sin. As you draw water from the well, new water is in there every day. Every day these people are arising to commit new acts of violence, new acts of sin, new acts of immorality. Amen? They sin like Sodom. They hide it not. They're not ashamed of their sin. You see? And the reason they're not ashamed of their sin is because the prophets and the priests, they are corrupt. They're given over to covetousness. They're given over to sin. You see, they healed the people we have back in, the false prophets and the priests. They healed the wound of my people slightly, it says. Well, and a wound is something serious. We're not talking about a scratch. The word they use is wound, which is a word that you used and described something you receive in battle. And if you get cut with a sword, and it's a deep wound, and you only repair that slightly, that wound will never heal. It'll infect. Poison, gangrene will set in. All kinds of bacteria will set in. And you'll either die or you'll be greatly hurt for the rest of your life. And that's what happens to when you have a corrupt priesthood, when you have corrupt preachers, and they're only preaching for money. They can't turn the people from their sin. The wound he's really talking about here is sin. And the preachers can't turn the people from their sin because they're in sin themselves. They encourage the people to be wealthy. They encourage the people to mind earthly things, to be successful, have your best life now. But they leave off the weightier things like love, like faith, like righteousness, holiness, separation from the world, purity of heart. Those are the true riches. But they teach these people to mind earthly things. That you'll have great success in this life. Come to Jesus. Jesus will make you rich. Jesus will always heal you. You'll never be sick. Well, that's not true. Oftentimes, those are the very things that Jesus uses to draw us close to Him. You see, if they had stood in the counsel of God, the preachers, they would turn the people from their sin. And this nation can't be turned from their sin because the prophets are corrupt. They're prophesying for money. They prophesy smooth things. People don't want to go to church and hear that judgment's coming. They don't want to come and hear that the Lord is coming, that judgment's coming. them that we need to turn from our sins. They don't want to hear about righteousness and holiness and peace. They want to hear about how can I have a better life? How can I have a more money? How can I have a bigger house, a bigger car? You see, that's where the people flock to. It appeals to their carnal nature. They don't want to hear about dying to the world, dying to self, picking up your cross, turning from your sins, living holy. Amen? And so when you have corrupt false prophets who preach for money and priests who wink at sin, who water down their message in order to keep the pews full, it affects the whole nation. We have more churches than ever before, more Bible colleges, more radio, Christian radio program, Christian television. But where is the impact? We're the number one producer in pornography. 180 million porn sites. 60% of marriages end in divorce. We're 3,000 children are aborted every single day in this nation. And I'll tell you, I'm prophesying war will come to this land. Since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you. This land will be struck again. Because we haven't repented. We haven't returned unto the Lord. Amen? We need to ask Him, where is the good way? And let me tell you, they don't have ears to hear. In Jeremiah's day, He said, who should I tell? They cannot listen. Their ears are uncircumcised. And a circumcision is a sign of being in covenant with God. But it's also a sign of a cutting away of the flesh. Cutting away of that which is sinful. Putting away which that is sinful. So He's talking to a people that are given over to their sin. But He's talking to a people that are given over to the world. Given over to greed. We want to be like the rest of the nations. Amen? The commandments become a grievous thing. It becomes a burdensome thing. They no longer take pleasure in the Word of God. They no longer delight in it. In fact, they scorn it. They make mouths at it. Even our own president, who calls himself a Christian, when he's campaigning, he says, well, which portions of Scripture should we govern from? And then he goes and he picks the most obscure passage from a covenant that's passed away, and then he takes it out of context, and then he mocks it and makes light of it in front of the whole world. No wonder the people have given God the back. You see? They mock it. They scorn the Word of God. Our own leaders make light of the Word of God. As if it's not to be reverenced. As if it's outdated. You see, these people can't stop sinning. They think they're progressive. They think that we ordain homosexuals in the church. We accept homosexual marriage. We begin to embrace this as an acceptable lifestyle. We accept fornication, sex before marriage. We accept shedding the blood of 3,000 children every day, abortion. They think that's progressive. But actually it's going backward. It's just going back to the garden where they were in rebellion against God. And as long as you're in rebellion with God, things are going to get worse. Amen? As long as you continue to shed the blood of innocent children, 150,000 children are aborted every day in this world. And as long as you continue to shed the blood of 150,000 children every day, it's only going to get worse. No matter how hard we work to make it better, it's only going to get worse. Amen? We must return unto God. Our president, another thing. You see, he's not in subjection himself to the authority of Scripture. He at his inaugural address, he allows an openly gay homosexual bishop to lead our nation in prayer. This bishop, he's not a saved man. You see, he doesn't have discernment. He doesn't have reverence for the honor of God, our president, and for the glory of God. He chooses a man. He's not discerning. He doesn't live by the Word of God. He chooses a man that's not even saved to pray over our nation. Amen? He says the Lord liveth with his mouth, but his works he denies the Lord. The Lord liveth. But in works, our president denies. His definition of sin is leaving the path which I have set for myself. No, that's not the definition of sin. It's a breaking of the commandment. It's leaving the path and the standard that God has set for us. We don't set the standard ourselves. When we set the standard ourselves, then anything goes. Even human sacrifice. Amen? We must repent. But the truth of the matter is that the pulpits are so compromised, they're so given over to preaching for money and given over to the world, that when they preach, there's no conviction from sin. And if you would have stood in the counsel of God, God told Jeremiah, if you would have stood in my counsel, if these false prophets had stood in my counsel, they would turn the people from their sins. That's how you know a man of God has been in the presence of God. That he's a man of God. He turns the people from the... He names sin. He calls sin what it is. He calls homosexuality, homosexuality. He doesn't call it gay. That's not what it is. It's what's gay about homosexuality. They have the highest disease rate. They have the highest suicide rate. They have a high drug use rate amongst them. An openly gay man, his life expectancy is 20 years less than the average man. What is so gay about that? Amen? What is gay about, what is happy about that? They can't produce children. And now we're indoctrinating our children that this is an acceptable lifestyle. And what we're saying is that we know more than God. That God's Word is no longer prevalent in our society. And let me tell you, it's coming down. There's judgments all over this planet. Just as we speak, war, food shortages, California, they announced that they were going to legalize homosexual marriage. A week later, 1,500 wildfires were burning. After those fires would put out, about 6 months later, they announced that they were going to legalize prostitution in San Francisco. A week later, another 1,000 fires were burning in California. What's wrong? They announced they're going to legalize marijuana. A week later, the whole state's on fire again. What's wrong with these? Sin is the problem. It's not the economy. Amen? We need to return unto righteousness. Glory be to God. But look at verse 16. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed at all. See, there's no conviction. They don't even blush when they sin anymore. Amen? They don't. There's no shame. There's no conviction. They don't hide it. We're queer. We're here. They march down the streets. We want your children. We're coming after your children. And by God, they're getting our children. Amen? Whew. Glory be to God. Now here, and this is God says, I will punish them. They shall be overthrown. The sins, the iniquities, they're mounting up unto heaven. They are mounting up unto heaven. Our cup is full. And God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen? And I do prophesy, prepare for war. We will be struck on this soil again. Amen? Glory to God. And we did have a prophetic word that the world will not last 30 more years of shedding innocent blood. There has to be justice. Deuteronomy tells us there has to be justice for the shedding of innocent blood. And 1 billion children, that's staggering. What's going to happen in 30 more years? What's going to happen? It'll be 2 billion, 3 billion in another 30 years. And it's just not going to happen. Amen? We have to have a worldwide revival. Glory to God. Go to Leviticus 18th chapter. Let's see what God says about homosexuality, adultery, and child sacrifice. He warns these three things will bring His indignation upon a nation. This is why He drove out the Canaanites. Amen? This is why He gave the children of Israel the land of Canaan, because the Canaanites were into child sacrifice, they were into adultery, and they were into homosexuality. That's why I removed them off the land. Well, if He did that thousands of years ago, I tell you, He's the Lord that changes not. He'll do it again. And if He judges Jerusalem for the same sins that we're committing, you can bet the same thing that happened to Jerusalem is going to happen to us. Amen. The Lord cometh. He cometh with 10,000 of His angels to execute judgment. And I did hear an audible voice, an angel flying in my room. And I tried to tell this to everybody I meet. He said, behold, the angel said, behold, the Lord cometh. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of His angels. He comes to execute judgment. We must be ready. We know not what hour the Lord comes. We must return unto the Lord. Amen. Which I think is impossible, because Scripture says evil will get worse and worse. And that's what we see, is it not? The love of many shall grow cold. What's colder than a mother turning on her own child and aborting it because it's inconvenient? Oh, less than 1% of children are aborted because of incest and rape. And with all the contraceptives and with all the birth control we have, it ought to be against the law to get pregnated outside of marriage. It should be a crime. That's just irresponsibility. Not that I'm for sex outside of marriage, I'm for abstinence. All sex outside of marriage is sin. But if you're going to have sex outside of marriage, there is protection. That's why abortion ought to be outlawed. Glory to God. It's ridiculous. Glory to God. Go to Deuteronomy 18, start with verse 20. And you shall not lie sexually with your neighbor's wife, and so make yourself unclean with her. There's adultery. You shall not give any of your children to Molech, and so profane the name of the Lord. Offer any of your children to Molech in the fires, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. That's what he's talking about. Child sacrifice. Glory to God. And you shall not lie with the male as with the woman. It is an abomination. Verse 22. Now if you go down to verse 24. Do not make yourselves unclean by any of these things. For by all these things the nations... By all these things the nations I am driving out before you have become unclean. And the land became unclean. So I punished its iniquity. For homosexuality, for child sacrifice, and for adultery. I punished the land. I drove out the inhabitants. Amen? I drove out the inhabitants. And He's going to drive us out. Amen? He drove out the Canaanites because of their sinful, sexual, immoral, adultery, homosexuality, child sacrifice. He drove them out of their land and He gave it to another. And brother, He's going to drive us out. Mm-hmm. The world just won't last with this kind of this sin. The whole world is lies and wickedness. Amen? And brother, how can you escape the damnation of hell? It's only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem with these people is that their sin is perpetual. Their hearts need to be changed. You see? Their sinful nature, they're ruled by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And by nature, they're children of wrath. And unless God changes their heart by His Spirit, they're going to be lost. Amen? And that's what's the problem. If you go to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, He said, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit. I will cause you to walk in My ways. We can only walk in His ways by His Spirit. You must have a new heart and a new spirit to see the kingdom of God. And then He goes to the Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones. Can these bones live? Ezekiel basically says, God, only You know. Only if You do something, they can live. And they're dead, they're skeletons. But He put muscles on them, sinews on them, ligaments on them. He puts flesh on them. And then He breathes into them the breath of life. And He raises them from the dead. And that's what this nation is, dead in its sin. It needs to be resurrected. Amen? And not just this nation, this planet. It needs to be resurrected. But many are called and only few are chosen. Amen? Glory to God. But you see Leviticus, that He drove out the inhabitants of the Canaan land because of their sin. because of homosexuality, because of adultery, and because of child sacrifice. And if he did that to them 3,000 years ago, I tell you, he'll do it today. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I want you to go to Amos 4. Let's go to Amos 4. Hosea, Joel, Amos, the minor prophets. Amos 4. And it's real interesting. Let's start with verse 6. I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places, yet you did not return unto me. I sent my judgments. I took meat from you. Cleanness of teeth means that they don't have anything to eat. There's no meat. Amen? And and lack of bread in all your places. So I took away the staff of bread. I took all the meat away from you. I took your sustenance, your food. But yet you didn't repent and return unto me. I also withheld the rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to harvest, I would send rain on one city and no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied, yet you did not return unto me. So you have food shortages, you have droughts. Sent by God. Why? To cause them to return to Him, to repent unto Him. And here's another, verse 9. I struck you with blight and mildew in many gardens. I struck you with blight and with mildew. Your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locust devoured, yet you did not return unto me. What does it take for you to return unto me? I sent 9/11. I sent Katrina. Amen. I sent economic collapse. I sent floods in the Midwest. Record floods, destroying crops, destroying the corn crops. Record floods in Iowa this past year, South Dakota, the Red River flowing over. The Missouri, the Mississippi the year before that. Record numbers of tornadoes. Yet you don't return unto me. Alaska, volcanoes going off in Alaska. I got things written down. Wildfires breaking out in Australia. Hundreds of people killed. 117 degree weather. 80 mile an hour winds with fire. And the man, one of the pastors, said that the Lord showed him that this would happen to this country because of abortion. Because of the shedding of innocent blood. Hundreds of people killed in Mumbai. Earthquakes in China. 300,000 killed. Myanmar. Tsunamis. Hundreds of thousands killed. Earthquakes. All various in various locations. Powerful earthquakes. Yet we don't return unto God. What does it take? And the truth of the matter is that we're just corrupted silver. And rejected silver. We're like iron. We're like bronze. No matter how He refines us. No matter how much heat they turn up. Iron and bronze are corrupt metals. They can't be purified. No matter how much heat you put upon them. They will still come out with a lot of dross in them. Rejected silver is silver that has been refined over and over and over again. But they can't remove all the impurities. So no matter what God does, you see, they won't return unto Him. Even in the book of Revelation, the sun scorches them with fire. He sends 1,000-pound hail. But yet do they return unto God? No, what do they do? They blaspheme the name of God. It makes them more angry at God. Instead of turning to God, they turn against God. They only go deeper in their rebellion. Amen? And it's not that He didn't warn. You're being warned right now. Go back to Jeremiah 6. Look at verse 17, 18, and 19. It says, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. He's making a declaration to the nations what he's going to do to his own people. I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. They have not paid attention to my commandments. You see, the word of God is outdated. It says, believe the prophets and you shall be blessed. They don't take heed to the warnings. Amen? They've forsaken the fountain of living waters. And they don't think that he sees. But let me tell you, every idle word you've spoken has been recorded in a book. And you're going to be judged according to what you... Everything you've said, everything you've done, everything you thought has been recorded in a book. This is a big God, people. He knows the numbers of stars. He calls them all by name. He sits upon the circle of the earth. He measures the oceans with a span. The span of the size of his hand. He holds the hollows of the ocean in his hands. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You are appointed unto a man once to die, then judgment. There's a certainty with one thing we have all in common. Two things, we're born and we're going to die. And the third thing is, you will appear before the judgment seat. Amen? You will. It's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. And without the blood of Christ to cover your sins, you're going to go to hell. And there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you can be saved than the name of Jesus. There is not salvation in any other name. Amen? We must, the Lord cometh. Glory be to God. Now let's go back to verse 16. Stand by the roads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. He could mean some texts, some commentaries of the Hebrew root word talking about the way everlasting. What is the way everlasting? Where is the good way? Where is the good way? And walk ye in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. And what it is we will not have Christ rule over us. We will not have that man rule over us. That is what they're saying. Amen? And where is the good way? It's in Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. There is nothing good outside of Him. There's no one good. No, not one. We've all sinned. Amen? The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. The heart is incurable is what that means. It's bent on sin. You're born a sinner. Through Adam we all became sinners. And without the Spirit of God to change your heart, you are going to continue in your sin. That is the good way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good way. He is the way. He is the way, the Ancient of Days. He is the way everlasting. Amen? He is the way. It says, so you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in Him. Where is the good way? Walk ye in it. Well, it's in Christ Jesus. That is the good way. And as you have received Him, walk ye in Him. Follow in His steps. Left us an example. We should follow in His steps. Amen? He that says he believes on Christ ought to walk even as Christ walked. That is the good way. That's the ancient path. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. Amen? He is the path. He is the way. That's the way. And you shall find rest for your souls. But as soon as you walk off that path, sin is pleasurable for a season, but you will reap what you sow. If you sow to your sinful nature, you will reap damnation. But if you sow to the Spirit, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will reap everlasting life. But they said, we will not walk ye in it. Where is the good way? Look down the road. Go to the road and look. Look what's coming. Destruction's coming.
Look at what you've been doing. What have you been doing that would bring this upon yourself? Well, we have forsaken God's Word. We've forsaken God's commandments. We've taken God out of school. We've taken prayer out of school. We've taken God, His name, out of the courts. We've removed any mention of His name out of our schools. Removed the commandments from in front of the courthouses. Removing crosses. We don't want to make mention of His name anymore. Amen. But the Lord laughs. He sits in heaven and He laughs. Because He cannot escape. Go to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2 real quick. We're almost done. The kings, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against God and against His anointed one, Jesus Christ. Let us burst their bonds apart. Let us cast away their ropes, their cords from us. Let's break all ties to God. We don't want any connection. Let's break all chains. We don't want to be connected to God in any way, any form, any fashion. And verse 2 says, and verse 4 says, He that sits in the heavens laughs. Amen. He will speak to them in wrath. He will speak to them in His fury. I have set my King on Zion, my holy. Christ is going to reign. It was done before the world ever began done, and man can do nothing about it. Amen? He laughs. Glory to God. Now be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Kiss the Son. You better have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You better pay homage to Christ. Amen? Lest He tear you in pieces is what that means. Kiss the Son. But you know what they say? We will not have this man rule over us. We will not walk in His way. How can we find rest for our souls? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we don't want that man to rule over us. We will not walk in it. Therefore, you will reap what you sow. There is no salvation outside of Him. All that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Beloved, the Lord cometh. Father, we're thankful for this word. We're thankful for this day. Father, we need to ask, where is the good way? We need to stop and look at what's going on in our nation. The shedding of innocent blood, the homosexuality, the fornication, the divorce, the adultery, the lying, the greed, the covetousness. We need to stop. We need to look and see what's coming. And certainly destruction cometh. War cometh on this land. Wrath of God cometh, and we need to return unto the Lord. Forgive us of our sins, O God, that your people called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, and we would turn from our wicked ways. Whatever it takes for us to turn from our wicked ways, whatever it takes for your bride to be holy, spotless, blameless, whatever it takes for her to awaken out of her sleep and trim her lamp, and trim her lamp. Oh God, whatever it takes for us to awaken to repentance, to holiness, to come out of the world, whatever it takes. Oh God, we give you praise. Whatever it takes for you to return, we believe for you to return. And whatever it takes for you to come back, and we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.